I'm glad to be here and share the word of God this morning. Can we bow our head and pray? God, we say thank you because your word is true and is still working in our life. And this morning, again, as we are about to listen from you, we pray that you'll open our heart and our mind to listen what you have prepared for us this morning. We give you glory and we honor you. Do what only you have to do as we share your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Good morning. Are we okay this morning? Okay, that's good, because I'm glad to know that you are good and that we're going to speak. We'll have a good moment together for the next 20 minutes. I'd like to say thank you to the pastoral team again for thinking of us to share the word of God this morning. And on behalf of the pastoral team, please, Reverend Daniel, thank you so much. Yeah. I've been requested to share the word on a topic called God Visitation in Tough Situation of True Disciples' Life. God Visitation in Tough Situations of True Disciples' Life. And the key word in this topic is tough situation. Because we all go through tough situations. We always have highs and lows in life. And that's what life is made with. The highs and lows. You'll never be on a low point always. And you'll never be at a high point always. There will be a time where you'll be high and a time that will be low in your life. That is how life is made. And today I'll be focusing on the low part of life. And before we continue, I'd like to bring some definition to us so that we may understand very well what the topic is all about. And the topic again is, say, God visitation in tough situation of true disciples' life. But who is a disciple? Let's start from there. A disciple is someone committed to live like Christ. Someone committed to live like Christ. The way he speaks, the way he walks, the way he acts will reveal Christ in his way of living. That's a disciple. You may have another definition, but that's the simplest definition I have for us. The second point that I'll be using, the tough situation. I'll be using the word trial to define the situation, those tough situations, those hard moments that we can go through. And the trial or the situation, the tough situation, I'll say that it is a test. Let me start and say, trials of tough situation are tests. And that is the test of our faith. It's a test of our faith. The second one, it's a test of our love. And the third one is a test of our hope. Our faith, it's what we believe in. The faith is what we believe in. The love is the affection we have for those we love. And hope is the desire and expectation to see something happen. So when trials come into our life, when a tough situation comes into our lives, they come to test three things. They test the faith, the love, and the hope. But I have an encouragement for us this morning. In John 16, verse 33, the Bible is saying, Jesus is the one saying, in this world, you will have trials, you'll have tribulations. That is the biggest encouragement that Jesus has for us this morning. In this world, you will have trial, you'll have tribulation. But he did not stop there. He continued and says, but take heart, be of good cheers, because I have overcome the world. That is a big encouragement. So if you are going through trial season, don't be afraid. It's a promise. And in fact, say thank you because it's happening. Because Jesus is the one promising that you will have trial. There is no way to hide from that. There is no way to run away from it. It will be there. But take heart, because Jesus have overcome the world. Being a disciple does not vaccinate us from trials. Are we okay? So don't think that because you are a child of God, everything gonna be okay. That is not Jesus' promise. And if you can go somewhere where they're telling you, because you are a Christian, because you are a believer, you are vaccinated against trial and tough situation, that is not right. They are lying to you. Being a Christian, being a believer, does not vaccinate you, does not vaccinate me from trials. We'll have to face the trial. And this morning I'll be speaking to three categories of people in this church, in these walls. The first category of people that we do have are those who have come out from the tough situation. That's the first category. There are people among us who have been facing challenges. There are people among us who did not know what they will eat. There are people among us who did not know that they can find a job one day. They are among us. Those are people that have just come out. They are from escaping the tough situation. The second category are people who are facing the trial. People who are facing the challenge. Right now, someone here inside doesn't know what he will be or she will be eating after this service. There are parents in this service who don't know where they will be getting furniture for school for their kid this morning. They're among us. There are those who are thinking on how to get a job. There are those who have just received a letter of telling them, we will not renew your contract. They are among us. That is the second category of people that we do have in this service. The third category of people we do have, they are those who don't know what I'm talking about. They don't know trials. They are in a green season. Everything is working well for them. Whatever they do is a success. But if that person is sitting next to you, please turn to your neighbor and tell him, your trial season is coming. Yeah, I just remind them that your trial season is coming. So enjoy this moment, but the trial season is coming. Be prepared for that season because it's coming. There is no way to run away from it. You are warned. Now we can continue. Let's read the Bible from the book of Acts chapter 12. I'll start from verse 1. And this is what the Bible says. Now about that time, Hero the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the day of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four score of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guard before the door were keeping the prison. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chain fell off his hand. Then the angel said to him, guard yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down street. And immediately the angel departed from Peter. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation in his Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered to pray, praying. This is a story relating on how Peter was in prison. And before him, there is a friend of him called James who has been killed by Herod. In fact, while I was reading this, something hit my mind. And I saw that King Herod Agrippa, the one we read, was the grandson to the Herod the Great, is the grandson to Herod the Great. And his sister was Herodias, who had been responsible for death of John the Baptist. So this king was coming into from a family that used to persecute a Christian, starting from his grandfather to him and to the sister. They were in just mood of persecuting. And I won't tell you, if you belong to a family that persecuted others, today is a chance for you today to say, "I have to break this chain." You should not belong into that family. That was just a simple thing. But prison, I want to see us in prison. Prison, it's a place where we are not free. It's a place where our freedom does not exist. Probably in other prison in Europe, but here in Africa, when you're in prison, it's like you're in hell. I don't know if you have gotten the opportunity to visit prisoners. It's a hell place to be. And it's not different from the tough situation we are going through. Prison is not that different from that. Let me tell you how those two looks like. In prison, it will take a lawyer for you to come out from that place. And while being in trial, it will take another lawyer to take you out from the trial moment. And that lawyer is Jesus Christ. So there are two things, different world, but have the same thing. All of them, they take a lawyer for you to take you out. I remember one of my professors at the university was telling me, like, he traveled to South Africa. And by mistake, he went into the prison. He was imprisoned because he did not have all the required documents. And when he came out, this is what he told us. By that time, the TV show that was going on, that was on top, it was Prison Break. And this is what he said. Prison Break is only possible in the movie. In the real life, Prison Break is impossible. So Prison Break, it's just a movie thing. But in real life, it will take you a lawyer to get out from that place. And in tough situation, trials will bring you also out, but with Jesus. So we are all looking for answers to life questions when we are going through trials. We have a lot of questions that are going on in our mind. What are the first questions? What is the first question that you always ask when you are going into a trial, a hardship? Please don't try to be a perfect Christian. The first question for me that I always ask is, why me? Is there someone who has asked that question? Say, why me? Why these things are happening to me? Okay, let me check. Who has asked that question? Who has said, why me? Oh, okay, I thought I was alone. We are so many. But we all look for questions, for answers, for life questions. But I'll tell you the question that must be important for you to come out from the trial season. What is the most important question you are asking today as you are facing your giant, your tough situation? What is that question? Albert Einstein said this: "If I had an hour to solve a problem, and my life depend on it, then the 55 minutes will be spent in determining the proper question to ask. If I had a problem, the 55 minutes and in an hour, I'll take only 55 minutes to look for the good question to answer, to ask. Because the time you find a good question to ask, you find a good answer you are looking for. I'll be talking to us five questions. The first question that you should ask, and I will encourage you to ask yourself, is the question, why? It's not wrong to ask why these things are happening to me. There is nothing wrong to ask that question. But when you are asking the question why, ask it in searching for a purpose, not on a place of blaming yourself, of wondering why this is happening to me. Ask to look for a purpose. Don't ask the question why to victimize yourself. Ask your question, the question why shouldn't I isolate you? Because that is what Satan is looking to do when you are saying, why me? He wants to put you in isolation so that you think that you are alone. But you are not alone. There is an army of a church praying for you as they were doing it for Peter while in prison. You are not alone. Look for a purpose while asking the question why. Find your purpose. The second question is where. Because most of the time when you are asking the question why, you don't find the answer. And that has to lead you to the question, where can I find my purpose? And the question of purpose gives you the direction, gives you the origin of where you have to go. And your origin is God. If you can't find your purpose, go back to God and ask him, what is my purpose, by the way? I'm in this world and I don't know my purpose. So when you created me, when you were thinking of me, what did you design me for? Ask him the question. The question why help you to find your purpose. And if you can't find your purpose, ask the question where, and where will give you back, will take you back to the origin. The third question is what? What can I do to overcome this season? The question what brings you to a point of potential. God has gifted you with something, and he wants you to use the potential that you do have to overcome the trial and tribulation you are going through. There is something hidden in you that you have to bring out and face the trial. There are things that you have to do. God has gifted you with something. And if it's not something, he has gifted you with someone in your life. The fourth question is how. How do I challenge myself in this situation? How will give you the way to go? How can I do it? The way you can do it. Should I pray or should I take an action? There are challenges that will require you to pray, to go on your knees and pray. And are others who will request you to stand up, to rise up, and do something upon it. Spiritual problems, spiritual situation brings you to a place of kneeling down. Physical need brings you to a place of acting. Don't wait while you are suffering with something. Don't wait. Look for a job. If there is something not going on, look, seek and seek. If it requires prayers, pray. Another thing, the last question you should ask is, who am I? The question, who am I, leads you to recognize your identity in Christ. By the time you know that I am a child of God, I've been rescued, I've been saved, I am accepted, I am a redeemer, you will know that there are challenges in your life that will not make you feel like small from them. The bigger you recognize the person who is in you, the smaller you see the challenges that you are facing. So look at your challenges, look at your trial on a place with the eyes of Jesus. Look at them and see, no, you are too small for me. because he who lives in me is greater than you. So look on your personality, who you are in Christ. Trials, they are not easy, but they are important. God, they will help you to discover your purpose, your directions, your potential, your way, and your identity. Ask the right question while going through trials. Let me end with this story. It says that one day a man was walking with Jesus. They started a journey with Jesus, and the journey started well. They had everything, food to eat, water to drink, fun on the road. These, there are people that I say they belong into the third category. This guy started a journey, and they went there. It took a moment, but after time, as I was telling you, if there is a neighbor who is next to you, tell him that the challenge, the trial is coming. This was the third category of that person. So they started a journey. Everything was fun, good. But it happened that he had to start the trial. He was walking with Jesus. Now they have reached into a moment of desert time. And when they began the trial season, the guy could see 4 footsteps while walking. His and the one of Jesus and those of Jesus. So it reached a time the guy could not see very well. And while he was walking, he started looking and say, I can only see 2 footsteps. Where are the others? So in his heart, he was saying, God has forsaken me. God has left me. He has left me going alone. Yet we started this journey with him. So he was bitter. He was annoyed. He was angry. And he felt like he has to just meet with Jesus and tell him that the way you are doing things are not okay. And he continued the journey, looking behind, thinking that he'll see other footsteps, but he could not see them. He could see only 2. And then at the end of the destination, he found Jesus sitting at the mountain. And the guy told him, Jesus, you are not that good. We started a journey with you. Everything was okay. I was glad. We had a good story, funny moment. But when I started my trial season, you left me. And the guy complained and complained as a human being, as we always complain. And then at the end of his complaint, Jesus told him, how many footsteps have you been seeing? And the guy said, I've been seeing only 2 footsteps. And those 2 footsteps, they were mine because you left me. And Jesus looked at him with compassion and told him, the 2 footsteps you were seeing were not yours. They were mine because I carried you through because you could not make it by yourself. And that is what Jesus is telling you in your trial. The footsteps that you are looking right now, they are not yours. Jesus is carrying you. Jesus is not coming to visiting you in your trial. He is there with you. He is carrying you because he will never let you down because he loved you. He gave his life for you. He redeemed you. He loves you. He can't allow anything or anyone put you down because he knows what it cost for him to be who you are today. So those footsteps in your trial season are not yours. It's Jesus carrying you. And it's Jesus carrying you. May the Lord bless you as he continue to carry you in this trial season.
Amen, amen.